Hey, everybody, I'm Lisa Burwell, your host of VSpeaks Conversations with Heart and Soul. We are in season three filming today, and the studio is bustling and robust. And our next guest is going to be a very interesting conversation, Jeff Zender. He's an amazing person who founded Zender Communications that has offices in NOLA, Baton Rouge, Nashville, and Rosemary Beach. He has been, his company, Zender Communication, has been working with our Walton County Tourism and for 11 years. He's been doing an amazing job with that. He and his team working in concert with our everybody here that is making our place the most desired place to be in the world. And he also is the chairman of the Seaside Institute. Jeff, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Lisa.
You're welcome.
Pleasure to be here.
Yes, so happy that you're here. I've wanted you to come here for at least 6 months now. We both serve on the board of the Seaside Institute. You have been serving on the board 4 or 5 years. Now, I just joined about a year plus ago, a little while ago, and you took over the chairmanship over a year ago, right?
Correct.
Yeah, okay. And I was there just for a little bit prior to you taking the helm. And I have said numerous times, and I will say it again, that watching you take a organization with a lot of initiatives and a lot of people, Ivy League grads from across the country and globe of the leaders and thinkers and like a think tank, basically, for so many different things. And you at that helm have done an amazing job of accelerating it, making it interesting, organizing it, and basically, you know, keeping everybody together.
Thank you. You're
welcome. I thank you for that.
Well, it's a team of great talent. So I think I'm a big believer both in my business and my philanthropy involvements that you got to assemble a great team first and then kind of get out of their way. Mm-hmm. And we've got some amazing talent on the board and in the organization. Obviously, fabulous support from the founders of Seaside, Daryl and Robert Davis, and now Micah, who's brought a whole new energy to Seaside. So we've got some really cool things underway, and I think a lot more that we're going to get done under the rest of my tenure, and you get to take the reins from me next.
Yes, so. That's such a frightening thought, to follow you in your footsteps is a frightening thought. But the only saving grace I have is that you're still going to be on the board. And then I will defer to you when need be, if okay with you.
And because, I live here, so I'm here to help.
All right. So thank you. But
absolutely.
I didn't really have any time to be on another board. And but when you asked me, I was so impressed with your leadership and what I watched you do in a short period of time. And I like you. I'm like, I'm going to say yes, just because of that. And then after I went to a couple more meetings, listening to you and everything that you're bringing to the table, I'm like, what did I get myself into?
No, you're doing a great job. We've got some active members. Yeah. I mean, yourself, Mike Ragsdale, and myself are all marketing communications folks. That brings a lot of firepower to
it
the table.
Does.
V Magazine has given us great coverage for our efforts, and that does a lot to open people's eyes to who Seaside Institute really is.
Right. And when you say firepower, it really does have firepower. And I don't know what some of the other people, I don't think as much of a media influence or a marketing and branding influence on board members may have been there in the past. And I think it's somewhat new for the Institute to have this many people. But what that has allowed, and one of the catalyst that I think the Seaside Institute, along with you at the helm, that's taken off with rapid fire, is that we brought our whatever we could with V Magazine to the table. You've brought whatever you could from your own company, Zender, for videos and brochures and press releases, you know, working in concert with Christy Milliken, the executive director. And then Mike Ragsdale, he put forth also some things that he's helping us with. So firepower it is. And this message did need to get out. And the Seaside Institute is celebrating 30 years with the culmination of the Seaside Prize for 2024, first weekend of February. And that is an amazing event in and of itself. Can you explain to our listeners and the audience, like in a, not in a nutshell, because you can take as long as you want, but What is the Seaside Prize like? So we can really start to tell people how amazing it is if people wanted to attend and learn and grow and just meet like some of the biggest thought leaders in our globe, around the globe right now.
It is. Can I go back to the board for a second?
Sure, sure.
Because you mentioned something I think that's interesting is that I'm a big believer, and I know you are in your organization, of assembling a diverse team that bring a lot of different skills to the table. You have it in this studio as well. And I think that largely the board at Seaside Institute had been composed of urban planners and architects and people that were within that singular discipline, which obviously is important because of new urbanism.
Right.
But I think that one of the things I thought was important was that we diversify our board and bring more folks in, not just like you and me and Mike Ragsdale and his organization, but just other people who are developers who maybe have a different way of seeing things and thinking through things, because together we can accomplish much more. So we expanded the board from 13 to 20 seats, so we have more room to bring more folks involved, get them involved in our initiatives. Mm-hmm. We're doing more than ever. Obviously, the creme de la creme is Seaside Prize. Mm-hmm. It's required. It's in our bylaws. We have to do it every year. We want to do it every year to celebrate someone who has truly made a difference in the new urbanism initiative that was founded with Seaside. This year's winners are partners in a business, Dover Cole, Victor Dover, Joseph Cole, who have done amazing things. And I think your audience that is more local will appreciate the fact that they have been very active in the redevelopment of Panama City since Hurricane Michael. Mm-hmm. So they can see the work firsthand. And I don't know Joseph as well as I know Victor from previous symposia that we've hosted, but Victor's just one of the most approachable individuals. And you can just see in the work that they do that they're passionate about making a difference. Mm-hmm. So I can't think of somebody who's more worthy of this award than Victor and Joe. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a great celebration. So as you mentioned, it's early February. It's intended to gather sort of the best and brightest minds. We let them drive some of the speakers who always tend to bring some fascinating topics to the table.
Right. And then this year, next year, what we're working on too is the initiative where Seaside is considered the birthing place for the new urbanism movement. And as we know, but maybe others don't, Alice Beach and Rosemary Beach both have the same town planners, DPZ, Andreas Duany and Elizabeth Seibert-Platter, who also were the masterminds behind that. So it is a new urbanism. They're right in our backyard. I used to have a joke where I would say, well, if I was an architect, I would live in and around 30A because it's a 26-mile stretch of beach where 85% of the housing needs a licensed architect to basically build your home. This is this is nirvana for architects, right? And even like in builders and interior designers and everything that, you know, follows from that. So this year we're going to actually have some of the events at said places here, like Rosemary Beach and Alice Beach too. So I think that's very fitting. And
it was necessary.
And necessary, right?
It was important. I think so many people associate Seaside Institute with only being about Seaside, and it's not. I mean, what Robert, Daryl, and now Micah have done to create this living laboratory, as he speaks of it, it's always changing. People say, oh, I've been to Seaside. You haven't been if you haven't been recently. But those influences shaped the development by St. Joe, of their developments, watercolor, water sound, by Alice Beach, by Rosemary Beach, not to mention, obviously, around the globe. But it's important to bring our neighbors into the conversation because they're every much a part, as we are about new urbanism.
Yes, totally. That's great. So what we're hoping to, what our initiative as board members would be to bring sponsorships to the table, but also to spread the news that people, anyone, you don't have to be associated in any capacity other than if you have an interest and you want to buy a ticket to the weekend, that is open to everybody. So visit seaside.org and look at all of the different speakers that we'll be posting soon and whatnot. And I had worked for Seaside 31 years ago as their marketing director,
amazing.
Which is crazy, right?
Talk
about full circle. I mean, that's just wild. And I had never been to a Seaside Prize before I was at the Seaside Prize 2 years ago.
Really?
Yeah, I had never been. And so many people that work in Seaside
don't know about it.
Don't know. And they have never been. And they're like, well, how did you get to go? I go, anyone can go. So I think there was something so like rudimentary about us being able to spread the news that we want people to attend. It's not a closed club. And it's something that anybody who's interested in all of the initiatives, big and small, global and local. And that's what I think has been so fascinating when we have our board meetings where we're talking about a lot of things here locally, but that it's also, you know, hiring people. Like if you want to talk about your initiative that you championed with the Water Institute and everything, and that, yes, you're having it studied here, but that is something that is so globally timely, and that we're almost like we continue to be, like you said, the living laboratory for ideas that can go elsewhere. So
yeah, I think part of the reason why we are beginning to get more traction locally and maybe attracting the visibility of people who've been here who've never attended an event is because we're doing more. Mm-hmm. Not that Seaside Institute hasn't always been a valuable organization. It has, but they largely did one big event a year, mm-hmm. and maybe did a symposium elsewhere in the year. We're trying to fill in the conversation all the time. Mm-hmm. And I got to give credit to our director, Christy Milliken, mm-hmm. you know, who's phenomenal at social media and marketing of Seaside Institute, which has helped to raise the visibility. Mm-hmm. But we've also added a lot of programming. Mm-hmm. I'm glad you mentioned the partnership with the Water Institute, mm-hmm. something that's near and dear to me. But coastal resiliency is something that's facing everyone on the Gulf Coast, as well as people who just live along waterways. We have a problem in Louisiana right now with the saltwater intrusion coming up the Mississippi River, which is about to overtake the water supply for both Orleans and Jefferson Parish. I mean, there's water problems everywhere, mm-hmm. not to mention pollution, et cetera. So last year, we started talking about programs that we could get involved with that Seaside Institute could sort of drive the conversation. And that's what we're great at, is convening the best and the brightest to talk about problems that face all of us, mm-hmm, right? The mm-hmm. ability to have sustainable, livable, you know, adaptable communities. And so the Water Institute is an amazing organization. We were involved actually in sort of the formation of it in our work through the Baton Rouge Area Foundation. And they are now the foremost leaders in North America and growing beyond that on building coastal resilience plans. Mm-hmm. And so people say, what does that mean? It's about rising sea levels. It's about storm intensification, all the things that we've seen happen even locally, but certainly our next door neighbors with Hurricane Michael, and planning for that future. How do you plan to make sure people can be safe, can get out, that the community itself is hardened and protected against the storms that are inevitable and are coming? Mm-hmm. And so we're working on this initiative now to sort of help Walton County first build its own coastal resilience plan. And then the goal is to take that on the road. Robert Davis had a great idea to convene this Coastal Cities Summit, which would be a movable program that we could bring around the country to Charleston, to Jacksonville, to other communities that are facing similar challenges, and then sort of continue the conversation and help them get up and running with planning for protection.
Right. So just to educate our listeners and viewers too, so the Seaside Institute sponsored and commissioned them to do correct. This study as like the living laboratory. Where are we that we don't have any updates yet because they're still basically working on their report back to us on what ideas they have for us, right?
Right. So the Water Institute's built plans for Houston, for Charleston, I think Jacksonville, if I'm not mistaken. Their task here will be to develop a plan of recommendations on what Walton County can do to protect itself. And people think of coastal resiliency as just the coastline. Mm-hmm. It's not. If a storm surge hit Walton County, if Hurricane Michael had come 10 miles over, it would have pushed water up the Choctahatchee Bay, which would have flooded Freeport, would have flooded the south side of the bay. I mean, it would have been a disaster, not just the erosion of our coastline. And our infrastructure would have been decimated, our workforce would have been displaced, so it mm-hmm. would have been challenging. Mm-hmm. So their job is to come up with the models to help people see, visualize. We live in a community now where the turnover here has been dramatic. I mean, it's a good thing for new people coming in, mm-hmm. but probably 50% of the people here have never experienced a hurricane.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't even know what to expect.
Mm-hmm.
So it can show them visually what could happen with a strong storm as well as rising sea levels. And then what they're doing right now is working with county officials, local concerned community citizens to really get their engagement to say, here's how we do it. We're not just going to drop a plan on their plate and say, go do this, as much as we want to work kind of in a participation with them.
So that's like an advocacy role that we're, you know, performing, right? So with your background, with our area and several other tourist development developments along the whole Southeast, right? You have a number of them, but you're so embedded in knowing in real time various initiatives that are going on in our county. And I think that's been a really big help to the Seaside Institute that you're able to connect and network a lot of information and people that you know about through your own, you know, relationship with them for a decade. Plus, I think that's been a really big help as well.
I love Walton County. It was a dream of mine to live here. I finally have fulfilled that dream by being able to do so.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been coming to Walton County for 35 years. Probably since the infancy of Seaside. And like a lot of visitors, they first came here when they were small children and fell in love with it and dreamed to go back, and they visited again and again, and it's grown. So 11-plus years ago when we had the chance to pitch the business, we had built a pretty strong reputation in the hospitality tourism segment, a lot of different facets of that, and we were fortunate enough to win it. So it's been a real love affair for us to be able to work with this county and the citizens and the partners, the industry partners, restaurants, hotels, individual homeowners, to try to make Walton County better. And we've always focused on really just bringing the best audience that we could possibly bring. Because I view it as, I know a lot of folks don't like to use the word quality over quantity because it gets misinterpreted what you mean. But if we can drive the ADR, which is the average daily rate, of Walton County tourism higher than our neighbors, then we don't have to rent as often. We can keep occupancy lower, which improves the whole overall user experience. And our ADR is double what our neighboring counties are. So we've attracted a more affluent audience that spends more money dining, renting bikes on homes, et cetera. And that really does contribute to the overall economy since tourism drives the economy here.
Wow. Let's talk about some other initiatives, and maybe we can jump to a super fun one first before we get into some more heady ones, but they're great too. But the trip to Copenhagen that is underway, that's going to happen in September 2024?
September, October.
Okay. And you want to share a little bit about, like, in the past, like the travel abroad Pienza?
Well, like you, I never experienced it. So the Seaside Pienza Institute was sort of the moniker that most people know about these travel abroad programs is what I kind of refer to it as. And I unfortunately am not able to participate right now in the planning of the Copenhagen event. Micah and Tatiana and Christy and a few others, and Daigle, I think, are some of our other board members are doing that. But it's going to be exciting. There's some wonderful lessons to be learned by visiting a community country like Copenhagen and seeing how they've conquered mobility, which is a huge effort that we're doing here. That's that's a fun project. So I think it's just going to be a great travel program. People like to participate in those. They were fabulously successful. I'm not really sure why they were discontinued, but it was another one of the things we said, let's bring it back. More programming.
Such a good thing to bring back. And the backstory on Copenhagen is they were plagued with very bad congestion of automobiles. It wasn't always as forward-thinking as it is right now. They were progressive and recognized that they needed to do something. I can't even remember how long ago, 30 years maybe, something like that, maybe even less, where they were able to transition from, you know, more cycling than automobiles in their city and all the various ways that they accomplished that. So when we go over there, we will be studying that. It seems like a monumental task to me when you think about the transition. And I think sometimes when people see like a really big mountain, I'm going to say myself included, you're like, I don't know how that's going to happen here. Like, how will you do that? But Once you start climbing the mountain and conquering the mountain and just keep, you know, moving forward, eventually transition becomes a reality into something else, right?
Well, they took a very aggressive approach. I mean, they really choked out cars for bikes and pedestrians. I mean, and that was a conscious decision. They had the support of their people. Robert can tell that story more beautifully than I can, mm-hmm. but it was an aggressive approach to do it, but it's worked. Mm-hmm. And even in a climate that is much more harsh than what we have here, they still have more pedestrians and bike riders than they have automobile users.
Right.
So it was a really thoughtful approach to building it. Mm-hmm. I think what we want to hopefully work with the county to achieve here is greater mobility opportunities for people on e-bikes and bicycles and pedestrians, make it easier for them to get from point A to point B, maybe a bike share program amongst the existing bike retailers. Mm-hmm. You look at a community like a New York or New Orleans or wherever, when they bring in these bike share programs, they've got to start up from scratch. Mm-hmm. We don't have to do that. We've got a wonderful network of bike retailers and renters that already exist here. And mm-hmm. if they can form a cooperative mm-hmm. and put together that network, then Joe Citizen could mm-hmm. rent a bike in Seaside and ride it to Alice Beach, drop it off, mm-hmm. dine, do mm-hmm. what they're doing, rent another bike, go back to Seagrove or mm-hmm. wherever they're going. Mm-hmm. So I think it could really be effective to right. get more cars off the road mm-hmm. and more people outside exercising, right. bike riding.
Right. So Seaside Institute also, again, advocated for this moving forward with the recent program that you were spearheading as well for the mobility.
Yes.
And if you want to talk a little bit about how you brought in Jeff Speck, his background, he was a Seaside Prize winner last year or the year before?
It's been about 3 or 4 years, okay. I think, actually, yeah. for Jeff.
Okay.
And Mike, too.
And Mike. He was, yeah. So I attended the morning sessions, and I thought they were very collaborative and robust, with a lot of people in the room knowing that there's a problem and various people trying to run point on different ideas. But if you want to explain, like, how the Seaside Institute performed, again, I guess, an advocacy role right. of blending all that together.
Yeah, I think with all the programs that Seaside Institute is taking on, it's really listening to the community, listening to people that we sort of trust, and saying, what are the things that matter? Mm-hmm. So whether it's aging with grace or yes. mobility or et cetera, those are things that we say, well, we can help there. We can convene mm-hmm. and we can create dialogue, and we mm-hmm. can bring in some experts and fund their travel to do it. Mm-hmm. And I think this was a topic, biking and mobility, that was near and dear to Robert and Micah Davis, mm-hmm. But it's also near and dear to a lot of local mm-hmm. individuals. Brian Kellenberger with Walton County Tourism oversees the beach operations, mm-hmm. but they're in charge of all the bike paths. And Brian's passionate about improving the bike paths, mm-hmm. but it's not an easy feat. When you start thinking about all the interconnectivity mm-hmm. between a bike path and a roadway and utilities and water, all the things that have to be sort of orchestrated together to make something like that happen. So it started with a conversation and really us getting together, that group that I mentioned, and mm-hmm. Reynolds Henderson, who's mm-hmm. on our board as mm-hmm. well, mm-hmm. and sort of saying, what do we want to achieve? Mm-hmm. And where are we now? Mm-hmm. And how can we, Seaside Institute, help? So it wasn't Jeff's doing. Yeah, it was yeah. really just me trying to
Corral.
I was mm-hmm. going to say herd cats, but it's not cats.
It's nicer.
Because these are, yeah, corral is much better. And everyone was passionate. Yeah. We just had to sort of map out a plan. Mm-hmm. So once we did that, it became a dialogue of, okay, so how can we best help this move forward? Because mm-hmm. we don't need yet another plan. Mm-hmm. What we really just need is to build some consensus and some support in the community and get the locals to stand mm-hmm. up and say, we want to see this happen. Mm-hmm. I think they want it to happen, but they weren't galvanizing together to show up at a Board of County Commissioner yes. meeting and say, let's make this happen. Let's mm-hmm. make this a priority for mm-hmm. Walton County, because mm-hmm. it's going to improve everyone's existence. And we're not talking about just South Walton. We're right. talking about a comprehensive countywide mobility program where you can envision mm-hmm. somebody who lives in Freeport or maybe even Dufuniac with e-bikes nowadays
right.
would have a safe bike path that they could ride on from mm-hmm. Freeport across the bridge, which mm-hmm. is going to be a big task, but mm-hmm. it can be done, mm-hmm. and all the way south to where they work and not have to get in the car.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then complement that with something that Brian Kellenberger has done so well, which is the TRAM program. So he implemented the TRAM program in Greaton Beach. I think it's now 2 years. And it's been remarkably successful. If you go into Greaton Beach nowadays, all the restaurants have expanded with outdoor seating. You can now sort of make that circle and not even get stopped because it's not jam-packed with people trying to find parking spaces. They park at 283 and 38. They take the tram. It's worked beautifully. So credit and Walton County Tourism for that.
Big credit. When it first, it's actually real close to the office, you know, the pickup and, and drop off. And when I first saw him, I'm like, well, I'm never going to do that. I'm not going to do it, you know, sorry to say. And then July 4th weekend, you know, I'm like, well, I'm going to do it. It was fun.
Yeah.
It was actually an outing and it, I don't know, it was just like a boomerang, like to the other opposite side of the fence that I was thinking that it was. It was, it's, and it was used and it was, I don't think it was even 10 minutes. I think it was maybe every 7 minutes that was coming on July 4th and it works.
It's got to be a good experience. Credit, again, Walton County Tourism is responsible for making that happen and making it run well. So that program is expanding now to Gulf Place. And eventually, the goal is to have that sort of at least South Walton countywide to really, again, take the pressure off of 38 and the connector roads and help people get where they want to go in an easier manner.
Right. You touched on aging with Grace a bit ago. And I know some of that from a macro vantage point. I think you probably know more than I do. Will you explain to the listeners, like, what did Robert create that, or is that just something that he's very passionate about too?
Like most things, Robert created
it. Yeah, I know. He's so good
at
that.
I mean, he's a visionary.
He's so good.
Well, and I think it's obviously near and dear to him because as he's getting older, he's realizing the sort of things that he wants to live and experience. I think the idea, if you go back to the origins of Seaside, it was originally envisioned to be a retirement community for teachers, right? So affordable housing, tin roofs, easy, you know, to construct. Obviously just turned into, you know, a massive draw because he birthed new urbanism and it is what it is today, which is wonderful. But I think he also always envisioned a place where people could sort of age gracefully and not be forced out of their home. And so how do you accomplish that? And it gets real complicated. So I think his vision, if I can articulate it, which I'm not sure I can as well as he can, is twofold. So one is creating an environment where people can stay in their homes and have the support they need, whether it's shopping or mobility or construction work at their house to make it easier to get in and out, is one facet of it. So that's that requires a number of different services, as well as healthcare. And then the second side is what I think he would describe as sort of quality of life. And Robert's pretty passionate about people living a quality life, but not prolonging a life when it's no longer quality. So why spend hundreds of thousands of dollars in that last 2 weeks of your life when you know what the outcome's going to be? And then you're putting a tremendous pressure maybe on your heirs. So I think it's a conversation about sort of planning. Maybe it's your living will and your healthcare initiative of how you want to celebrate the end of your life in a respectful way.
Yeah, I think it's like him, like he is the visionary that he is, always thinking about so many different things. And now, as you said, because he's of a certain age, nearing 80 this November, and we had just had someone on the podcast prior to you that I think you met on your way out, who's also 80 years old. And
she was fascinating.
She is fascinating. Yeah, she really is. Vicky Teal, the fashion designer. So what's amazing, several things about that, but one, that he's a race car driver. Okay, so, I mean, you talk about living life. Like really living it, like living it with gusto. And, you know, just like when your brain can keep thinking, that's living life with gusto. When you stop, I think a lot of people stop thinking like, oh, I don't work anymore. I'm retired, so I don't have to think or whatever. I mean, just think it's so inspirational, right? For to just never stop, like keep going and living and loving life to the best that you can and everything that Robert is preaching. I can speak from my own personal experience being faced with having to put our dad in assisted living and then on Alzheimer's. And it was one of the worst experiences of my entire life. And I had no idea. None of us. I'm the oldest of six. And we didn't know, like, you know, you're not, no one teaches you exactly like how to go through some different phases of your life, you know?
True.
I didn't know that, and I'm just going to speak from my own personal experience, that they were not the place for my dad to be. And that was nothing that I would ever want to have happen in my life, nor would I ever like have it happen to somebody else again too. So he is more than onto something, that there is something wrong about the way we're doing it right now. And it's, you know, I think it's a little bit of the American ethos of sensibility where, you know, just like, you know, we have to work, we have, you know, we all like, I think we all buy a narrative that might not exactly be the right narrative that's being sold to us, that it's fine to put your parents in a nursing home. And this is like, this is what it's like. But after you go through it, in my own opinion, it's not.
Right.
It's really not.
I have to ask you a question. Doesn't it amaze you, since you worked with Robert and Daryl 30 plus years ago, right, mm-hmm. at the birth of Seaside, mm-hmm. he seems to have just as much energy today.
He might have
as
more.
Did
no,
then.
He might have more.
It's true. I get emails from him. I'm just like, how does he keep this pace up? I don't know.
I don't
and
know.
I thought I had a lot of energy.
Yeah, and I thought I had a lot of energy. Right. But yeah, I mean, he's always been a thinker. And you know, no matter what, I always loved Seaside or being around Robert and Daryl, even if like the job was hard. And the job was hard sometimes, right. you know, because you were dealing with like 40 different bosses sure. at once. That's impossible. But anyway, that was another story. But just the sitting in a room and like having your brain like really get a good workout, right? Like how many things in our society right now can that happen for you? You yeah. know, because like we're in like this 2-3 second, you know, time frame where we can't like concentrate on anything past 3 seconds, you know, with social yeah. marketing.
Instant gratification.
Instant. Yeah. And then you sit in those meetings and, you know, you have to shut your phone off because it's rude to be in a meeting and not doing it. And then after like all these ideas are discussed, I'm like, God. And so while I leave, it's a joke that I have like it. I like working out. But then I'm like, oh, just love my brain getting a workout because your brain does need
right.
to work out and needs to think of different things that you don't even know it needs to think of, you know? That is the most fun that I have with that is thinking.
Yeah.
And it's great.
Well, he's passionate. Daryl is too. I mean, we talk about Robert, but they're definitely a partnership.
Oh, yeah.
And they keep us all on our toes.
They do.
So mine is jogging, is running after all the meetings and stuff
yeah.
to kind of
do you
process
do that process?
Data.
That? Yeah. Well, you process the data pretty great, I'll tell you.
Just to try to get it all organized.
Yeah. So there's a lot to get organized for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Well, anything else that we might have left out about the Seaside Institute? I think those were the keystone points for this year, right?
Yeah. I think the only other programming element that we're working on is the loosely, we're calling it cocktails and conversation or
yes.
coffee and conversation, mm-hmm. but to be able to convene folks on a very casual basis monthly.
Yeah.
So there's just more
perpetuating
yeah.
the message. And then the Black Bear gallery that's in
Black Bear Project.
Black
yes.
Bear Project.
Paper Bear.
Project. Paper Bear. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry. Black Bear
it
coffee
is black
shop.
Bears.
No, they are black,
right.
but it's the Paper Bear Project with Eric's Salas and Sean Couch. I love seeing Eric's art there and just like learning and knowing more about what he's doing. And I think that was one of Christy's initiatives too, with her, you know, so heavily embedded in the community about, you know, again, showcasing all the good things that are going on. And yep. that's another thought organization where, you know, you're stopped in your tracks and you have to think about like what is happening to the Black Bears with overpopulation yep. and, you know, our ecosystem and like so many other things that are going on. So I think it's, you know, such an amazing group. So if anyone wants to join, you know, you're welcome to, and then sponsor Seaside Prize, you're
yep.
very welcome to. And I'll give a shout out to one of our clients, EF San Juan,
please.
Custom millwork company out of Youngstown, Florida. A family-run, four-generation business that I just am in love with the family and the work that they do. And they did a lot of work in Seaside with their custom millwork in the chapel,
yeah.
The Seaside Chapel as well, and so many other things as they've grown. But Edward, the owner, Edward San Juan, it's near and dear to his heart. I didn't know this until he was on a podcast last year, and he said at the time that he started doing work in Seaside, their business was going through a really rough time, and they didn't know exactly how they were going to make it. And then they met and came upon Seaside and started doing work there. And that is how it turned their business around. And it was really important for them to have met the town of Seaside and, well, and vice versa.
Phenomenal.
Right. It's
I
so
know that some of our board members, like Scott Merrill, who's an architect,
is yes.
fabulously talented.
Yes.
And has been so good to Seaside Institute. Raves about E.F. San Juan and the chapel because he designed the chapel.
Right, yeah, and they worked together on that. So, and I'm excited that he's going to be there this year too. Well, Jeff, I thank you for coming on the podcast. I thank you for being the chairperson of the Seaside Institute. Thank and if you want to keep doing it, have at it.
No, I think you're ready.
Okay, I don't think so.
You want to take it on early?
No, I do not. But thank
Thanks
you.
Thanks for having me, though.
Okay.
I appreciate it.
You're welcome. All right, everybody, I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Jeff Zender. Lots of really good information and lots of thinking, and get your brain thinking and come on and join the Seaside Institute on some way, because you will not be disappointed. Have a great day, everybody. Bye.